Erev Tov, last time we met, last week, we were speaking about the various kavanos in Shemona Esrei. We spoke about the most basic kavana, which is the kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. Either the mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Rambam, or the mitzvah the Rabbanan, according to the Ramban. And we noted that that kavana is not as crucial as the others, because that, the chayyadam, as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, indicates if one is davening in the context of tefillah, so it already is implicit that one is having in mind to fulfill a mitzvah, even though one should, on the outset, pause for a second before davening to contemplate the fact that one is performing a divine commandment. But the other kavanos, which are, at least some of which, are absolutely crucial for tefillah, so they are recorded in two simanim in Shulchan Aruch, in Tzimtzum Tzadiches, and Tzimtzum Kof Aleph. And ultimately, these kavanas are a reflection of a similar duality that we saw concerning Kriya Shema. That just like concerning Kriya Shema, as Rabbi Soloveitchik noted, that there's the Maisa mitzvah to say words, but there's a Kiyama mitzvah, which is Kabbalah Salmuch HaShemayim. In other words, to create a certain intellectual or emotional, both that kind of state, Torah Kodesh Baruch Hu, declaring our loyalty to Him. So too in Shemoneh Esrei you have that duality as well. The Maisa mitzvah saying words, but the Kiyama mitzvah, what is meant to be fulfilled by these words is some kind of state that we're supposed to arrive at. Some kind of state of Avodas Hashem. And on the most basic level, even though many have elaborated on what exactly tefillah is supposed to accomplish and how exactly it is a form of Avodas Hashem, but on a most basic level, tefillah is communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as such, one of the most basic and crucial kavanos in tefillah, and as the Rambam makes it explicit based on the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch makes it explicit in Siman Kuf Aleph, also based on the Gemara, that this kavana is certainly crucial during the first bracha. And last week we spoke about the kavana of understanding the words, in other words, understanding the content of the communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But even more basic of one is the fact that you're communicating with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So here the Mechaber writes in Siman Tzadiches, based on the Gemaras and the Rishonim, that V'yachshov ke'ilu shechina kenegdo. The one should visualize as if Hashem's presence is in front of him. In other words, the one is talking to Hashem. On a most basic level, that's what davening is, not just a recital of words, but that there's someone listening on the other end. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik, in an introductory development of what tefillah is, I heard from my Rabbi Reb Shechter that tefillah and nevuah are basically the same idea, except just who's making the call. Nevuah, we think of nevuah, that's such a lofty ideal, however, halavai, we should be zocher to that. But we do it every day, just in the reverse direction. Nevuah is communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, and tefillah is communication between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like nevuah is felt and is real and is something that is totally undeniable by the Navi, because he senses Hashem speaking to him. So too, tefillah is supposed to have that kind of sense of the fact that you're undeniably talking to Hashem Yisborach. And whether Hashem answers that tefillah is Latova, or, always will answer him Latova, but whether the answer is yes or no, but nonetheless we are in a state of communication with Hashem Yisborach. The Zohar HaKadosh, as many Sifri Hasidus and others elaborate, and Nefesh HaChaim speaks about this as well from the Misnagdish perspective, but he all quotes the Zohar, that tefillah has the power to burst through all the heavens, it's by Kaas Kol HaRakiyim, and there are no dividers between the true Mispalel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes the tefillahs are brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the angels. That's the whole debate about the Machnis Hirachem and Machnis Hirachemenu. And sometimes the tefillahs go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It might depend on one is davening privately, or davening b'tzivur, depending on what language one is davening in. But in any case, the tefillahs have a direct pipeline to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they're said with that kind of concentration. So this is a very basic kavana in tefillah. Minimally should be kept in mind in the first bracha, that one is talking to Hashem. And in addition to that, as we mentioned last week, the second kavana is that, at least for the first bracha, that one should have in mind what that content of that communication is. So if Hebrew is not the first language, so one has to take a moment out when they're reciting the words in order to comprehend the meaning as well, which is the second kavana of Pirish Amilos. There's a famous halachic analysis of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, which we briefly alluded to last week and really spelled out, that Rai Rosenberg spelled out more at length in a different series of shiurim here, that Mark had arranged previously, that because he's medayik based on two Rambams. One Rambam says that Kavan is crucial, and he doesn't distinguish where in the Shemona Esrei, and the other Rambam says that Kavan is only absolutely essential for the first bracha. So it seems to be a stira. And one implying that Kavan is crucial for all the brachas of Shemona Esrei, and one implying it's only for the first bracha. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik develops the theme that this is a reference to these two Kavanos that the Shulchan Aruch is referencing here. That one Kavan is the fact that you're talking to Hashem Yisbarach, Shechina Kenegdo, that the Divine Presence is before you. And the other is talking about the Kavan of understanding the words. The Kavana that you're talking to Hashem Yisbarach says that's absolutely crucial, otherwise not Tefillah. It's just recital of words. So, just as to give an example, let's say I don't know how to speak French, but the king only knows how to speak French. So I can't communicate in another language. I don't have a translator. So I have someone write the text for me, and I read to the king what I'd like to say to him. So even though I don't understand the words, but I realize I'm talking to the king. And he'll sense that, and he'll appreciate the fact that I am sincere in my request, and he will listen to me. Whether he'll say yes or no, but at least he'll realize that I'm talking to him. So too, in order for tefillah to be tefillah, because it's not just recital of words, in order for tefillah to be tefillah, it has to be where you have concentration, that you're talking to Hashem. So that would be necessary for all 19 brachos. Hence that Rambam that implies that Kavan is crucial for the whole Shemona Esrei. And the Rambam says Kavan is only crucial for the first one, he's talking about the Kavan of Pirush Hamilos, to understand the words. So that, yeah, that's absolutely essential for the first bracha. For the rest of the brachas, even if you don't understand it, so you're not focusing on it in terms of understanding it, so then you're still Yotzei. So the Chazon Ish defends Klal Yisrael, and he says that it's a nice shtickle Torah, but it's not the single pshat of the Rambam, and that the Gemara is Kipshuto, when the Gemara states that the Kavana is the only crucial for first bracha, it's over? New take? Fine, I'll turn it over. So. Kavana is only crucial for the bracha. It meant both kavanos. You know, it was both the kavana of talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu and the kavana of knowing what the words mean. It's only crucial for the first bracha that you would be yotzei if the mind's wandering all over the place in the rest of the brachos in a minimal level. Of course, that's not ideal, but you know, I mentioned previously something Mark told me from my Welcher. You know, religious growth is incremental. One can't expect to have kavana on all 19 brachos every single time, and sometimes only once a year. There was a nice sign. They had a collection of ideas for tshuva, you know, a New Year's resolution. So one of them was a very simple one, but something is very hard to keep. Did you ever have kavana on every single word of Shemona Esrei? Just simple, you know, not simple. Just, did you ever focus on the meaning of the words of the entire Shemona Esrei? Not an easy task by any stretch of the imagination. So, and the halacha recognizes that. That's why it has a halacha chila system and a v'diyeva system, and the Chazon Ish writes, and that's generally assumed. It's also the simple implication of Mishnah Berurah that all these kavanas are only crucial for the first bracha. As a matter of fact, he quotes, I haven't gotten the chance to really see too much subsequent halacha discussion about this. The Mishnah Berurah atypically quotes a Pnei Yoshua. Usually that's not quoted in a halachic context. Pnei Yoshua usually writes commentary on the Gemara. But he quotes a Pnei Yoshua that all these extra kavanas that I mentioned in Siman Sariches, which we're discussing tonight, except for Pirush Hamilos, which is obviously going to be relevant to the Shemona Esrei itself, but all these kavanos, for that you think about before the Shemona Esrei. But during the Shemona Esrei, just think about the meaning of the words. So that also is not... You could say it's like Reb Chaim, you could say it's exactly against Reb Chaim. In other words, you have in mind once that you're talking to Hashem, and everything follows from that. The Chazon Ish also, in his analysis of why he thinks Reb Chaim is wrong, so he says something along those lines too, that once you have in mind originally you're talking to Hashem, so everything flows from that. So the Mishnah Berurah also seems to be taking a similar approach to the Chazon Ish, that it's only crucial at the very beginning. The way the Pnei Yeshua puts it is even before the Shemona Esrei begins. The third Kavanah that the Shulchan Aruch discusses in Simen Sarichet Sif Gimel, and he has a discussion in the Be'er Halacha whether this is absolutely crucial. So some Rishonim say yes, some say no. So they said one should be careful about this, but b'di'evet, if one did not have this concentration, one certainly need not repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. And that is the concept of Derech Tachanunim, which is based on a few sources, amongst them the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and also Mishnah in Brachos, that a mispalel shouldn't make his tefillah keva, ela rachamim v'tachanunim lefnei hamakom. So tachanunim, or the, for at least to have some English term for it, even though it might not be as precise as it should be, it's a beseeching. So it says, kirosh hamavakesh bepesach uvenachas, v'shelo teiro alav kemasa hamavakesh lipotim imena. The one should daven in a begging way, as if someone really needs something, as opposed to just trying to exempt an obligation. We say in the Slichos, in the introductory passage, when I come on time, get a chance to say that passage, Kedalim uchurashim defaknu blasecha. We bang on your door as poor people. It's also appropriate to Rosh Hashanah, maybe just elaborate for a minute or two on that theme. Rabbi Yisachar Friend, amongst his many other fantastic tapes and now videos, so he gave a shiur on Seres Meitshuva, always gives one, so one of the many shiurim on the Seres Meitshuva that I got a tape of, so he spoke about the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that Kol Shana, some of your Zayin base or your Chesna base, Kol Shana Sharasha B'tchilasa Ashira B'sofa. Every year that's poor at the beginning will be wealthy at the end. The Tosfos explains that if a person is poor, so usually he's going to be in a more contrite spirit than a person who's rich. And as such, he's more likely to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as such, he's come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's more likely that Hashem will better his lot. Rabbi Friend quoted, I forgot who he was quoting, from one of the Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva, a different shot than that Gemara. That it doesn't necessarily mean someone who's actually poor, but someone who has a poor attitude. And I think he quoted that expression we say in the Slichos, and it's also a theme that's repeated in the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Kedalim uchurashim defaknut lasecha. The expression that he used, very catchy phrase, an economic phrase, zero-based budgeting. You start with nothing, and now you have to see how you're going to build up your assets. And that's exactly what's at stake on Rosh Hashanah. You start with absolutely nothing, it's a clean slate. Kadosh Baruch Hu is now going to decide what's going to be the next year. And if you really have that attitude, so that's obviously going to lead to a very serious attitude, Rosh Hashanah, and one will take the day very seriously, we'll be Mamlecha Kadosh Baruch Hu, we'll have Hirhurei Tshuva, we'll do Tshuva, and then ultimately, so then he will be blessed with success, because he has a poor attitude. So, as is often the case in many themes in Halacha and Hashkafa, so what we're supposed to do in a very a dramatic way, certain times of the year, we spoke about it before, in a different context, we're supposed to do every day in a mini way. So that idea, which is magnified in Rosh Hashanah, Kedalim Uchurashim, Defaknut Lasecha, so that's every day in Tefillah, one is supposed to have at least a little bit of that kind of attitude, that as one is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that one is utterly, utterly dependent on Hashem for everything that we have. It's a very fascinating 2-minute video that H.com put out. If you haven't seen it yet, it might be kedai to have internet access to take a look at it. Kosher internet, based on recent lectures in the neighborhood. It's called Rosh Hashanah and Katrina, a 2-minute video. So the basic theme of the video, it basically showed these disastrous pictures of Hurricane Katrina, of people who lost everything. They were wading through water until the next, and homes that were totally underwater, and basically, together with the chazan who was singing Rachamona de'anein, and the basic point of it was that you start with nothing. Mamash had nothing. No food, no job, no house, no money, nothing, no water. But there's a part of you that no one could take any away from you, and that's your aspirations and your hopes and your personality. And what are you going to make of it? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to rebuild your life with the talents that you have? So, I'm sorry, Rosh noted, we're not Nevi'im, so we can't really interpret the events with a certainty. But certainly we could utilize these the natural disasters that occur in Chodesh El to give us an attitude of what it means to be Chedal and Chiroshim. And the fact that this natural disaster hit a certain part of America, but that just highlights the fact that all of physical goodness is utterly dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and can be taken away in an instant and can be given in an instant. And it's that attitude that the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Mishnah Berurah, at least l'chachila, maybe even b'di'evit for the first bracha, advises to have for the Shemona Esrei, or maybe even requires to have at least for the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. They were totally dependent on Hashem. The first bracha, try to elaborate in a few other shiur, maybe till Yom Kippur, maybe just to go through some of the words, but the first bracha defines HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who gives. Gomel chasadim tovim. He's the one, everything we have is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that sense, this idea of being dependent on Hashem is also relevant to this bracha, which is primarily a bracha of Shevach, and not a bracha of Akasha, where we recognize that everything we have is from Hashem. It also ties into the theme of the Kriya Shema that we mentioned before, in terms of Hashem Echad, that not only are we dependent on Hashem, that we realize that everything we have is from Him, but in a deeper philosophical plane, all of the molecules in existence are only there because of Hashem's constant will. The new rules of nature are just a facade. That's what Hashem constantly wills into existence time and time again. So these are the three kavanos that ideally all of them, minimally the first two, that one should have in mind, in at least in the first bracha, namely to have in mind the meaning of the words, and on a more basic level that one is davening to Hashem. For the first bracha, absolutely crucial. L'charchila, that one has the sense of total dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kedal M'churashim, and that we really are in need, even if, you know, it seems pretty certain that what we have today we'll have tomorrow, which is an attitude that's of course very relevant to Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah. And then, at least L'charchila, I want you to have in mind that one is being Yotzei Mitzvah. I just want to conclude with how to be Mechavein in the meaning of the words. So we suggested last time, it's a simple solution, not easier said than done, but just gotta slow it down. The words that we're familiar with, just have to slow down and focus what the words mean. As the Mishnah Berurah writes, you don't have to have in mind any Kabbalistic ideas, just the meaning of the words. The words themselves are laden with meaning, they were injected with many, many meanings by the Anshei Nefesh HaGedolah. So even without seeking any commentaries, just the words themselves are very, very meaningful, and just to have in mind what they mean in one's mother tongue. We'll try to focus on some extra layers of meanings in the last few sessions, but on a basic level, just to understand the words. What I wanted to focus on for a drop, just one more minute, is the idea of Shechina Kenegdo. So, I must admit that I'm still a little confused about this, because there seems to be a little bit of a gap between what Rav Arye Kaplan recommends in his Jewish meditation book and the way I understood the Shulchan Aruch, so I have to research further. But the Gemara says that when you daven, you're supposed to face Yerushalayim. And you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to face Yerushalayim. And when you're in Yerushalayim, you're supposed to face the Har Habayis. And when you're in the Har Habayis, you're supposed to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if you're a Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you should face Bein HaKruvim. And then the Gemara says that if you don't know the direction, so you should just be Mechavein Libo to the Aron Kodesh Bein HaKruvim. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, and it's recorded by the Mishnah Berurah, that one shouldn't think, Fib Shuto, the Gemara is saying, well, you know, I don't have an exact compass, so I can't really direct my direction to exactly the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'll face Eretz Yisrael. And if you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you'll face approximately Yerushalayim. That's why, you know, northern parts of Eretz Yisrael, they show you that the archaeological digs of synagogues, they face south. And South Africa, at least theoretically, should be facing north, even though some shuls also face east, or slightly northeast. So you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, but it's not just a directional, because kavana means two things. Kavana means direction of your body. It also means kavana of your mind. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, and it's recorded by the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah highlights this and spells it out from Rabbeinu Yonah on the Gemara, that when one faces Yerushalayim or Eretz Yisrael or wherever you are, you're supposed to have in mind that you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you're right before the Shechina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, like the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't have exclusive rights to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's for all of Klal Yisrael. So I just found that this is a very takes a lot of concentration, especially before the davening, and you can't really come late for this one. Got to focus. But when one focuses, Baruch Hashem, nowadays we have many beautiful diagrams and pictures of what the Kodesh HaKadoshim looked like, even though we don't know exactly. But one imagines oneself, at, you know, knocking on the curtains of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Rabbanu Shem says, yes, I'd like to hear from you. And then you enter, like the Kohen Gadol did, and he brought the Ketores, and you're right there before Hashem's holy presence. Obviously, one is not davening to the Kruvim, that's Avodah Zarah. But that one is in the most intense place of the revealed presence, at least for the first bracha, so that helps focus the energies that one is davening to Kodesh Baruch Hu. What I'm a little confused about, and I throw it as food for research. I'm happy to discuss it with the Rav, Bli Neder, but Rai Kaplan says that really you're supposed to focus on just nothing. No, just you're talking to Hashem. No imagery in your mind. I'm a little confused on this. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, as I said, that's one way of being able to focus on connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, the problem here is that Hashem is not visible. So it's easy to speak to someone that you actually see. It's a little harder to speak to a being, even though he's the ultimate, that you don't see. So the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, seems to be providing a solution as to how to be able to focus more on Mimdav of Neashchina by having in mind that one is Mechavin Keneged Kodesh Kedoshim, both directionally, but also in the mind as well.